possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's Target Demo Friday, D-Aliens. What's up? It's EJ Stewart. You are listening to the best of the DA show coming at you right now.
Happy Friday, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome to our four-hour sports sojourn through outer space. We have reached the end of this week without a vacationing DA. It is one more different cast of characters coming to you live from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border on CBS Sports Radio, the free Odyssey app, the CBS Sports app, and SiriusXM Channel 158. From Denver to Dunedin, Cincinnati to Catalina, Kalamazoo, and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
Tip those hard hats to me, Andrew Bogish, and E.J. Stewart as we go 5 for 5 this week. No days to burn, but I will be honest. It is taxing being D.A. It is much more fun being the other guy filling in when somebody else is in charge of picking topics, lining up topics, thinking of clever headlines for the stream. It shouldn't be that taxing. Maybe I need to be tougher, but I need a vacation after being DA for a week.
I can tell you one thing. Not all that taxing being the other guy who's now not here.
Yeah. I mean, he never really put much effort into things, but at least he did more things than I did when the two of us would fill in for DA. So being in this lead share is a lot of work. Maybe we shouldn't make fun of DA and his random Fridays off and every other week work schedule the rest of the summer here. Because he needs it. He's running himself into the ground thinking of clever puns for headlines 300 days of the year. It's a lot of work. As you fire up watchda.com or YouTube, or if you have no other choice, Twitch, you'll see that somebody has an interview after today's show. Ryan Betcher is once again on the Wheels of Steel. And look who is to my left. Back from vacation. A surprise appearance, at least in my estimation. I was told he was unavailable. Sorry, SOL, find somebody else. And then all of a sudden, and in fact, more than once this week, early in the week, I said a different name was going to be here on Friday, and Pete the Body Bilotti, schedule master, nodded yes, in agreement, confirming someone other than Pat Boyle would be here Friday, and look who's here on this Friday. It's the king of the oinks, whether it's hockey, whether it is tennis. Nobody does bacon better than this man, and he's on headlines and hanging out with us for these 4 hours. Hello, Pat Boyle.
Hello. Good morning. What an introduction. Did I ever tell you how handsome you are?
When did this happen? I was told that you were unavailable this week. On vacation. Again, find other people. I mentioned other names. Pete confirmed those names, and all of a sudden, you're here. What's going on?
Not only does Pete have days to burn, he's got schedules to burn.
Apparently.
He's got it messed up. This was from last week. I told our other boss, David Mayernick, that I would be back from San Diego Wednesday night. I offered to fill in any capacity on Thursday. He goes, no problem. He goes, take the day, because I landed Wednesday night at like 10 p.m. So he goes, why don't you do headlines Friday? I was like, sure thing. So this has been settled for well over a week.
So maybe it's that Pete just doesn't listen. Because I looked at him and I said, like, question mark within my voice, like, CeeLo Friday on the air. Yep. Big head nod, confirmation. So again, he tells us he makes schedules. He's off today to do quote unquote interviews. Now, there are pictures floating around very quickly. I mean, you want to hear a news operation kick into high gear. You send one of us dopes through this place wearing a tuxedo yesterday. And the text fly, TMZ Sports posts come out, awful announcing is on this. One of our favorite people who gives us plenty of content for this show interviewed for Sean's job yesterday, I'm not lying, in a tuxedo. I don't know if he heard us talking about Pete's desire to up the ante in terms of wardrobe for these interviews. I don't know if this was his own choice out of nowhere, but somebody showed up yesterday in a tuxedo to talk about being the next Sean. And I'll remind you that Sean owns a suit. So that suits for weddings, that suits for funerals, that suits for the entire gamut of things that you need a suit for. One of his possible replacements showed up yesterday in a tuxedo that he owns. Might even have been tailored for him specifically. It fits so well. That gentleman's going to join us on the show this morning to discuss exactly what went into the decision to go tux yesterday.
And what's interesting about that is, I won't say who, but of the panel that have been doing the interviews, one of them told me when it came to dress that I believe anything is not overdressed except wearing a tuxedo.
Whoa. Okay. I mean, that's the obvious problem here. If you're going in as a goof, is that good or bad for you're trying to get the job? Or if you were doing as you heard Pete wants high etiquette at this and these interviews, but then you go too far and it backfires. Tricky situation. There's a lot to digest. We're gonna do it in hour number three with the person who did all of this. But my point at the very beginning of Pete says he's not here today for interviews. I don't know what Pete does anymore, because he doesn't do schedules. When we have mess ups, those guys, he didn't hire them, but he takes off to interview other people and bring people in. But when they mess up, they're not his guys. It's one of the biggest shams going. No one knows what Pete does here anymore. If he's not sitting in Ryan's chair pressing buttons, if he's doing anything else, it might all be for show. It might all be fake. It might all be made up. It might all be fabricated. And once again, Pete just continues to pull the wool over our eyes and basically, I don't know, steal time, steal money from the company by doing God's know what.
Wow.
I said it. Listen, this is a guy that steals lunch. He messed on a number of occasions. The initial Pete plan was there's more than one deli type operation around here that you can buy either hot or cold buffet, and they weigh what you put in the little tray and then you pay per weight. And Pete had a trick where he wouldn't put the container all the way on the scale, and if they didn't fix it, the scale was not weighing the full thing, so Pete was saving some cash. And
I mean, that's smart.
It's, I guess, and then there's the infamous story here where DA offered to buy everybody breakfast. Pete already had breakfast. He got himself lunch through DA's generosity, got a sandwich, took it home, ate it off-site. Exactly. More Pete bashing this morning, as always, plus Sean Payton throws haymakers from behind his desk in Denver. Saquon Barkley went ace to base and saw the sign. Multiple NFL injuries yesterday. A disgraced college football coach now overseeing rope climbing at a high school in gym class. And MLB Network's John Paul Morosi gets us ready for Tuesday's MLB trade deadline. But we begin in Cincinnati, where the Bengals and the NFL almost lost one of its biggest names on July 27th. Joe Burrow and his right calf are where we begin. It's your cold open.
We've got some breaking news out of the NFL where Joe Burrow suffered a non-contact calf injury at practice earlier today. The Pro Bowl QB appeared to injure himself while scrambling during an 11-on-11 drill. He was carted off the field and taken to the locker room.
Message to the team, Zach, after something like that happens, obviously the team.
Message, this is football. Guys go down with an injury that maybe is a day thing. Who knows? So we don't message the team after every single person goes down. There's a lot of guys that had soreness today that had that rep cut down a little bit, so that's just part of playing football and training camp.
Like, I think everybody is still mentally intact because nobody really knows what the real issue is. You know, nobody really knows what's the real injury.
I wasn't really worried. I believe he's all right. You know what I'm saying? He's a strong dude. You know, he's hard-headed sometimes, but he's a strong dude, so we'll be all right.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic Grundy.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That last voice who really wasn't worried is Ja'Marr Chase, preceded by Tyler Boyd, head coach Zach Taylor, and it all began with Jacqueline DiAugustino on CBS Sports HQ. That was the scene yesterday afternoon at Bengals training camp. Joe Burrow, if you haven't seen the video by now, is rolling out to his right and untouched, unbothered, just begins hopping on his left leg, goes down to the turf. There is a receiver and a cornerback in the shot between the camera and Burrow, and they both just stop in stunned silence, and one of them puts his hands on his helmet. Zach Taylor can say injuries are injuries, and we don't discuss every single one with the team, but that's their season hobbling and falling down to the turf. Now, everything we know as of 6:11 Eastern this morning is that this is just a calf injury. It's not an Achilles injury, which is what the initial fear was, at least on social media, when you're playing at-home doctors seeing the video. So it sounds like the Bengals dodged a bullet. We're certainly going to need more confirmation today about that. But this is bound to happen somewhere to somebody, to some team, some significant injury in July, in early August, not even in a preseason game, let alone a regular season. It happens every year. And it almost happened yesterday in Cincinnati. There's nothing good about non-contact injuries. There's nothing good about Joe Burrow injuries. Although this seems to be a little bit of a habit for Joe. 2 years ago, training camp, he was still coming back from his torn up knee. Last year, you remember, he had appendicitis, had his appendix taken out a little later in the summer than now. And now here he is, at least missing a little bit of time. And this is the one injury and maybe the one place where I can compare myself to Joe Burrow. I tore my calf muscle in high school playing basketball, and it sucked. And I did exactly what he did. I thought somebody had, like, shot me in the leg. And I was on crutches for a while. Who cares about my basketball career? This is easily or a bigger system in place to rehab him and get him back out there. And if you're going to tweak something and have to miss some time, this is the time to miss it. But boy, oh boy, were people flipping out yesterday afternoon, I don't know, 4:30-ish, right, was when this started to first come out, Boyle, because it certainly did not look good. Boyle, the Burrow body language wasn't great. Going off on the cart wasn't great. Hopefully the news is as good as it appears to be, but the NFL season almost changed yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, ultimately, if this is a strained calf, which is what Zach Taylor's saying, and it's what basically all the media reports that we're getting is saying, strained calf, I mean, maybe 4 weeks most. You know, maybe you're worrying about his status or how well-oiled the offense is going into week one. But all intents and purposes, when the dust settles and the smoke settles, this is going to be just a scare here for the Bengals. But yeah, you had the trifecta. You had the non-contact. You had the limping. And you had the carting off of the field for Joe Burrow yesterday. I'm sure many people had that word Achilles in their mind.
Yeah.
And a lot of Bengals fans saw their season tickets go down the drain for a couple of seconds there, or a couple of minutes yesterday. So ultimately, it's probably the best case scenario. I mean, you obviously don't want him to get hurt at all, but...
But if he's going to get hurt, have him get hurt on July 27th.
Yeah.
Have him missed August, not December or January.
Yeah, I mean, but that just tells you how, you know, we talk about players getting injured in baseball, players getting injured in the NBA. I mean, there is nothing more fragile than a starting team's quarterback room, especially teams like the Bengals, teams like the Chiefs. I mean, we've seen the Chiefs get by with Chad Henne in the playoffs without Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. But if you're talking about the Bengals having to do it for a full season without Joe Burrow, good luck. You know, good luck, because this is one guy. This is one of maybe 10 guys in the entire NFL that a team cannot even come close to surviving without.
And if you haven't seen the video by now, it's not, you know, it's training camp, obviously. It's just footage from, like, maybe deep, like, in the end zone on the side of the field looking back into play. It's not some overhead shot. It's not the normal from the 50-yard line shot. It almost looks like you are kind of spying on practice, so to speak. And so you watch everybody react to Burrow going down, and every single Bengal in the shop, player and coach, has that immediate realization and fear, like, oh my God, we're just getting started and the season might have just ended as he hobbles and goes down. So again, hopefully the news stays good, but still dicey, sketchy times in Cincinnati right now.
And Bogues, how funny too, because you had, I mean, I lost track of days in San Diego. I'm assuming it was Wednesday. You get Justin Herbert's big 262 million dollar contract extension. And then Joe Burrow speaks and says, you know what? No rush. It gets done when it gets done. I'm sure Joe probably had a couple of moments yesterday when he said, oh, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
And how many do you think maybe in the Bengals front office, they are, you know, maybe wouldn't be too upset if Joe was hurt for a little bit longer. Maybe they could use some leverage because they're going to pay him $285, $300 million.
Yeah, Mike Brown, notoriously cheap. He can't be cheap here, but was he a small part of him, like, rubbing together his old creepy evil hands going, did I just save myself $10 million with a calf injury? Definitely on the table. And speaking of just Burrow speaking, I had set aside a tweet that I saw yesterday to send to EJ for soundcheck, because Burrow was going through his, like, off-season kind of routine, and he said he basically spent the whole off-season, aside from football prep, just hanging out, playing video games, and watching YouTube videos as if he was my 9-year-old son. And somebody asked him what his favorite YouTubers were or whatever, and his quote was, I wouldn't say go-to, I diversify my mental portfolio on YouTube.
Wow.
That's made for soundcheck, but it can't be in soundcheck now because that's not a Burrow headline anymore. The Burrow headline is his right calf falling off.
Does he step on the practice field again until his contract's done? Does he use this as, all right, guys, you know what? Got a little scare. Yeah, now I think I want to get that contract done here. Let's talk shop.
No, I think more like, okay, that could have been catastrophic, and we have to make sure the calf is 100% fixed. So, and I don't know, I can't remember. I feel like they don't play him in the preseason to begin with. Maybe once.
Maybe a half of the first game.
But that's off the table now. Even if he's able to play in the games, I can't imagine they would put him out there and risk a second significant preseason injury for him.
No, his calf has to be 100% by, you know, the second or third week of the preseason. And even then, they might maybe play him for two series in one game. And I think that is a stretch at this point.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
And Soundcheck on this Target Demo Friday begins. Baseball yesterday, Cardinals and Cubs. Ian Happ's the play for Chicago. On his backswing, he knocks St. Louis catcher Wilson Contreras in the head. I believe Contreras actually is bleeding. He has to leave the game. So two pitches later, Cardinals pitcher Miles Michaelis puts one off of Ian Happ's hip. That's where we pick things up on Bally Sports.
And another message sent. Buzz the tower once. Got him flush the second time, and now let's see if the umpires issue warnings after Happ knocked Contreras from the game.
Well, you see that Happ knew exactly what was going on, too. Didn't say a word, took his bag, caught him right in the hip. If you're going to get him, that's exactly where you get him. Did the job the right way. They're going to talk it over. They'll issue warnings.
They throw him out? Wow, they just pulled Michaelis out of the game. You got to be kidding me.
got to be kidding me. Have a little feel for baseball. Have a little feel for the game.
That's Brad Thompson. The other voice is Chip Carey, again on Bally Sports. They basically said everything. I mean, Hap knew it was coming, just kind of turned, put his right butt cheek out there to take the fastball. Michaelis put it right there. Hap went to first base. Michaelis wanted the ball back. Didn't give it to him right away. They talked, and they threw him out. And, I mean, what Brad was saying at the end is 100% right. Everybody was fine with it. They move on, issue your warning, say, okay, message sent, we get it. Now we play baseball, and anybody else does it, then all bets are off. There's no reason to throw Michaelis out of that game yesterday.
No, none at all. And this is, you know, there's still, we complain about a lot of the unwritten rules in baseball, teams getting upset that guys pimp home runs now or that pitchers celebrate strikeouts. That's starting to become a thing of the past, which I think is good. But there's certain things that I like about the unwritten rules of baseball still, and that is if you do something that, you know, you probably shouldn't have done, you make somebody bleed from the backswing, sure. Intentional or not, yeah, look, you might get one in the cheeks for it. And it looked like it was agreed upon.
Right.
Like, that's actually happened twice in my baseball playing career, where when I played in the Northwoods League in college, we had a guy who absolutely, like, pimped as much as you could pimp a walk-off. Now, granted, it was a walk-off double. And they had the outfield in because they tried to cut down a sack fly. So once he hit in the gap, the game was over. And he did a little too much. We were playing him the next day. So it was like, all right, our manager came in and said in the clubhouse, hey, so-and-so is going to get plunked to start the game. I'm batting him leadoff. That, because we almost got into it after the game the day before. He goes, and that's going to be the end of it. I don't want any retaliation after that. So it was agreed upon. Happened. Umpire issued the warning. Move on with your day.
Right.
That's what should have happened here. How can you throw a guy out for something that basically everybody on both teams was okay with and had a complicit agreement with? It's ridiculous.
You guys are bugging.
What?
You guys are bugging. This
How?
Was ridiculous. First of all, Michaelis had a chance to hit him the first time. He botched that because he threw him up and in. And then the second time he comes out, now I'm going to throw at him. Look, the rules are the rules, okay? If it's clear you're trying to intentionally hit somebody, you're out of the game. I don't know how, I thought Carey and Thompson were ridiculous. How could they do this? Understand baseball. This is nonsense. This is the kind of crap that turns people off from baseball. People don't want to see people get hit by balls. People don't want to see things get escalated because all it takes is one guy from the Cubs who maybe doesn't like this situation, doesn't accept this, to then throw somebody from the Cardinals and now we got a brawl and maybe somebody gets hurt.
But wait, you're the guy that wanted people to fight off of trampolines and now you're...
Right, that's a different sport. This is baseball.
So we can't fight in baseball?
My fantasy trampoline, arena fighting league is different from the sport of baseball where this kind of unwritten rule crap needs to be rooted out of the game.
There's a lot of crap that needs to go out of the game. You're right. But I thought this was the way it's supposed to be.
How? How does that make any sense? Accident happens where Ian Happ, who played with Contreras, he's not a guy who hates Contreras. There is no beef. He has an accident. And then now, he has to get hit. These are the rules. What?
It's an accident in that I don't think he obviously meant to do it. But there's also accidents that, and this is like a conversation I have with my kid. Accidents happen when you're not actually... What's the right word? I should be better at being a dad. Like, there are avoidable accidents. There are avoidable accidents. That's avoidable. In fact, this came up during the Mets game that I was watching last night, because in that game, there was a catcher's interference call, and it was really the batter's fault because he took a very late defensive swing and just kind of chopped down at the last second and clipped the catcher's glove. It was not the catcher reaching forward into the plane of the swing. So they were saying there should be some leeway for this. And then they brought up the Ian Happ situation and said, and if we're going to blame catchers for getting their glove hit by a bat, there absolutely should be a call in the opposite or in the flip, the reverse, where what Ian Happ did should have somehow penalized him. Now,
I agree with that. Sure. But that doesn't mean, okay, now he needs to be plunked with a baseball. Like, that is the most.
You plunk him in the ass where it's not going to hurt. He knew when he goes to first base and everybody's fine.
Oh, my God.
And
that's the most caveman thought. Like, oh.
No, it's not.
No, because there's no actual justice. This is like Gotham City. This is like Metropolis.
But we're not hurting him. But I'm not asking for violence. I'm not asking for pain or suffering.
He's being hit with a baseball.
Nah, you're taking one in the cheeks. It doesn't even hurt.
Oh, my God. This is ridiculous.
That's his mistake. He got somebody hurt, man.
And by the way,
he cracked his head open.
If he wants to do it, fine. I think it's ridiculous. But then you get thrown out. Like, the idea that he shouldn't have been thrown out of the game when he was obviously trying to throw at somebody.
No, there should have been a warning. There should have been a warning. He shouldn't have been tossed. That's ridiculous. That's the thing that I'm most angry about. I can actually see the argument about, all right, he shouldn't be hit for that. Like, if they didn't hit him, I think we would have all gone on with our days. But they hit him. He was okay with it. It was complicit agreement. Shouldn't have been tossed out for something like that. I think that's ridiculous.
The best part, so to speak, of EJ's point, from my estimation, is that it's the second time. You get one. I'll give you one. You miss him. Okay, now we go back to baseball. At least this one was a guided missile to a place that wasn't going to hurt him. If you hit him in the head, you hit him high in the back, that's a different conversation. But this was the nicest way possible to plunk a dude. And to me, that's not objectionable. Let's get some basketball in here. This is Brendan Hayward, longtime NBA center. He played under Rick Carlisle in Dallas. Won the 2011 title with Coach and with that Mavs team. And this is Haywood on No Chill on FUBU Sports talking about how good, how honest, brutally honest, the head coach Carlisle was.
One game, Rick Carlisle pulled me to the side. The next game, was like, yo, show me the play. He was like, you see that guy in the corner? He just happened to be Dirk.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, that's $20,000. That's 20,000 points right there. Around here, your job is to rebound and block shots. Don't you ever look off Dirk to take your ragged jump shot again. Ragged jump hook again.
Mm-hmm.
A little offended. My jump hook wasn't ragged.
Rick Carlisle already told you this?
Yo, Rick is the most real coach. Like, Rick don't pull no punches. That's why he's respected. Like, Rick was like, it wasn't in front of everybody. He said, like, yo, when you get this offensive rebound right here, the possession matters. We're trying to win a championship. Possessions matter. You kick that out, we reset the offense. Somebody's going to make a play for you. They had certain spots where myself, Tyson Chandler, Jan Mahaney were supposed to be on the baseline and certain things. You're going to get your points that way. But he was like, hey, don't you ever look off Dirk Nowitzki to take your raggedy jump hook. Never forgot it because he called it ragged.
That's a good story. You better pass to Dirk when he's open. There don't you take your jump shot. I like it. And then the best part is, because this kind of, I think, connects bigger picture maybe to all the stuff we're dealing with now at Northwestern and allegations of Minnesota football and stuff like that. You can be honest. You can be, you know, borderline mean with guys when you do it on the quieter side, when you do it individually. You don't shame people in front of the group. There's a way to get your point across sternly, emphatically, without being a jerk. And that's what Rick Carlisle did. He got his point across. He didn't embarrass Brendan Hayward. He didn't stop practice and scream at him, kick him out of the gym or anything stupid like that, make him run suicides for not passing it back to Dirk. They had their conversation, called his jump shot raggedy ass, and didn't plunk him in the backside. So he just happy too.
Love it. I love it. No violence.
Last but not least, this is our new favorite guy in college football. Let me get Boyle up to speed because you might have missed this. AAC Media Days early this week. Biff Poggi is the new head coach at Charlotte. They blew the whole staff out after last year. I think they were 3-9. So Biff comes from Michigan, takes over Charlotte. His name is Biff. He looks like a Biff.
Biff Poggi, of course. Everybody knows Biff Poggi.
Gets to Media Day, gets asked three questions. And the moderator goes, anything else? And then he goes in this whole tirade of, really only three questions. So disrespectful you picked us last. And he storms off the podium. So here's the follow-up. This is Biff on SiriusXM College Sports Radio.
We've got a really good football team of a bunch of guys that are really chippy and are great kids. But they are chippy and they have an edge. And we are bad company on that football field. And I can't wait to start playing because I can tell you this will be the last time we ever come to this building and get the disrespect that we've gotten since we've been there.
You guys were picked last in the conference. Is that last part of the disrespect?
Yeah, last. You know, press conference, three questions. You know, hey, you guys suck. Let's get to the next guys. And I would like to take whoever those writers were that voted on that and hold them upside down by their ankles and smack their heads off the ground a couple of times because they don't know shit.
Wow.
So this man's a lunatic.
So where do we stand on that, EJ? Can you throw a baseball at somebody? Can you hold them upside down and bang them on their head? How does that work?
Oh, this guy's a lunatic. I mean, I've been consistent with Biff Poggi. I'm not about this. We have a good football team. You were 3-9. Your team is not good. Go out there on the field and show that your team is better than what people think. Like, this idea that he's being disrespected is ludicrous. He does not have a good team. And now he wants to beat up some reporters who follow his team, a team that doesn't generate a lot of buzz, and says, you know what? You know, I'm not really feeling this team. A lot of the veterans that came back this year, they didn't do great last year. And now you're like, oh, these guys don't know blank. I mean, come on, man. Enough with this guy.
I'm kind of on the opposite of EJ here again. I kind of like Biff Poggi coming in, you know, guns blazing. Because It would have been so easy to take over a team that was picked last and just say, hey, you know what? It's year one. We're going to build a foundational structure. We're going to learn to tackle the right way, do all these things. Basically set zero expectations. He's doing the opposite. He's coming in. Hey, we're going to kick some ass. I want to hold people over. I want to smack their heads off. I want to do whatever else he was saying.
Yeah.
Now, I like this from Biff Poggi. I'm a fan of Charlotte football now. September 2nd, South Carolina State. I'll be on the Charlotteers. What are they? What's their mascot?
No, 49ers.
No. Yeah, the 49ers. Coastal Carolina's the Chanticleers. These are this is the UNCC 49ers.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. They're the 49ers. They're in Charlotte.
Yeah, that one I don't get
either.
Who's
digging gold in Charlotte, North Carolina?
Did they relocate from somewhere else? They come from San Francisco?
College relocation. I'll tell you what, though. I did look at their schedule. They play Maryland in week two, so that is going to be a 40-point blowout.
So you better beat SC State. Florida in week four?
Yeah. They went to the swamp.
Do I blindly back the 49ers week two, week four, if they're like more than 30-point dogs?
See how that SC State game goes first.
Okay.
Get a feel for those 49ers.
That'll be the measuring. What is it? The measuring stick game?
Yep.
If they win that game by double digits, I'm on the 49ers. I'm on Biff Poggi.
I just like, you know, every once in a while an ironic nickname is good. You know, calling a fat guy Slim. Like, I'm here for that. But I like that this guy is a Biff. He's full Biff. Big. He looks like a Biff. And now he's talking like a Biff. Assuming he's not actually going to hold somebody from like the Memphis commercial appeal upside down and shake him into the ground because he didn't ask enough questions at American Media Day.
By the way, Biff Poggi, a former investment banker before becoming a football coach. Yeah. I don't think he was Biff when he was.
No, he was still Francis. Deals.
Yeah.
Or Frank.
This guy's massive.
Yeah, he's a big dude. He played at Duke, was an alignment at Duke. And then we had the guy from Michigan on the other day, and he wasn't an actual assistant coach at Michigan. He was like one of these like analysts, like director of football operations guys, and now he's the head coach at Charlotte.
Yeah, he was. What is St. Francis Academy? He was a high school coach until 2 years ago.
Yeah, and now he's running in the 49ers,
and he's getting paid $1 million a year,
running roughshod through.
They have his salary listed. So he's got that seven-figure, you know, attitude now.
He's got some moxie. He's got the bankroll for it, the nickname, away he goes.
I will say this. I feel like this whole Biff Poggi thing feels like the Dan Campbell effect. Like what Dan Campbell established in the NFL, he's now one of the most beloved figures in sports.
Yeah.
This feels like, you know what, that guy leaned into it. He coached previously at Michigan, of course, you know, Dan Campbell, head coach of the Detroit Lions. I feel like a lot of this, we're going to be seeing more because of how well it's worked so far for Dan Campbell.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Phone lines open at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We do not get often what we got yesterday through USA Today from Sean Payton, the new Broncos head coach. Said a lot of the things, I guess, you know, any Biff Poggi would say. I'd be disappointed if we don't make the playoffs. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Motivational videos, all that kind of stuff. Try to spur the Broncos out of last year's disaster. Plus, they haven't had a winning season since 2016, if memory serves correct. But Payton got headlines yesterday for absolutely eviscerating former Broncos head coach, current Jets offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett. Passed the blame around, named names in his building too, did Sean Payton, the GM, the team president, Russell Wilson, but said that all of them were victims of one of the worst coaching jobs in NFL history. This is the kind of thing that coaches tell you when the recorder's not going, when you're in a commercial break before coming back into the show, you're having dinner with them, you're walking around Super Bowl week or the combine and everybody's relaxed and being open. You don't normally get this type of comment on the air. Coaches like to talk to, like, oh, you know, when there's job openings, well, the job's not officially open yet. I'm not going to talk about that. They like to show respect to their brethren, but there was none yesterday from Sean Payton. And here's the thing. We can talk about whether it was right or wrong to do it in terms of behavior and etiquette and whatnot, but it was 100% right. I think Hackett got 15 games. He was lucky to get that. He was an abject failure. And I still don't understand how other people didn't lose their job. People that hired him to be a disaster, how did he fool them in the first place to get that job? I mean, think of the bigger conversation we have about minority candidates who can't get interviews, legitimate interviews, can't get jobs. And this guy somehow got a Broncos job, got Russell Wilson, and couldn't even survive a year. He was that bad. And now Sean Payton comes in and says it was one of the worst jobs in NFL history. And I wouldn't mind if coaches made a habit of being a little more honest. We know what they're thinking. We know it's reality. Go ahead and say it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree and I disagree. I agree in the fact that, yeah, obviously we would love to hear more of this so we can talk about
it. Oh, yes.
Other than just speculating. But I think it was, honestly, it was pretty dumb for Sean Payton to say any of that.
Really?
I mean, we knew how terrible Nathaniel Hackett was last year. I mean, we were basically saying, all right, this guy's getting fired week 9. All right, not getting fired week 10? How is he not getting fired week 11? We know he was terrible. Russell Wilson was terrible. I don't think everybody that was in the building last year, like Hackett and everybody that's gone now from that last year's team, is to blame for Russell Wilson. He was pretty horrible on his own as well, let's be honest. So I get Sean Payton wanted to go to war for his guy and come in and you know, set the record straight. But, I mean, dude, as much as these guys are grown men and they're professionals, why would you give the New York Jets, who are going to be on everybody's map this year, why would you give them any more extra motivation for, was it a week 4 game, week 5 game, where maybe as the Broncos, even though Peyton's now the head coach and you're not expecting them to be as terrible as last year, Why would you give the Jets, who have to play, I believe, the Kansas City Chiefs the week after, and they have a pretty tough schedule to open up Monday night against the Bills, why would you, like, a game that could have been a trap game for you? Maybe they, you know, they take a couple days off mentally in the preparation for the Broncos game. Maybe you catch them by surprise because they kicked the Broncos' ass last year, and now Hackett's with the Jets. Why would you give them any extra motivation now to say, all right, you know what? Denver Broncos, this game, big red circle. We are going to kick their ass now because the Jets are more talented than the Broncos. So unless Sean Payton's going to cook up the coaching masterpiece of his life, or the Broncos are going to be dramatically that much better than they were last year, Sean Payton is setting himself up to look like a big dumbass here.
Yeah, I mean, on top of the Hackett comments, Payton did criticize the Jets for being too front and center this offseason with Rodgers and all the, and he said Hard Knocks. Now, they didn't want to be on Hard Knocks.
Exactly.
So you can't hold that against them. They didn't want to do this. They didn't run to the cameras and HBO asking to be on Hard Knocks. The NFL's making them be on Hard Knocks. That's not their fault. Sometimes I think, though, that bulletin board material gets blown out of proportion. The Jets just need to win football games, and they may be desperate in that situation because of the Bills and because of the Chiefs and stuff like that. They may need to win that game no matter what Sean Payton said. We could absolutely nitpick some of the things that Sean said that are wrong or disconnect. Like, to me, I don't... Russell Wilson being bad on the football field only connects to a certain extent to, like, the fact that his masseuse was allowed in the facility and stuff like that. All the things that have come out since the end of the season that, you know, Team Wilson had entry points, entry access to the facility, and that Peyton has taken that away. I don't know how that makes Russell a bad quarterback, because he was just a bad quarterback last year. But, you know, I Sean Payton, if he's just insulted about how bad a job Hackett did at the same job that Sean Payton has, like, this is... he made coaches look bad. I kind of get that frustration, because I've had that frustration with people in our business. Now, I didn't go and tell USA Today that so-and-so is one of the worst hosts or play-by-play broadcasters or update anchors. I've wanted to say those things out loud, but I didn't. But Sean Payton has far more leeway to say these things than somebody like me does.
He does. He does, but, I mean... look, is he wrong about how bad Hackett and the Broncos were again last year? No, but we all knew that. It wasn't like it was everybody was trying to cut them some slack and be like, well, you know, maybe Hackett should keep his job. Maybe the Broncos aren't that bad. No, Russell Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett were the whipping guys for, like, basically every sports media and sports radio show for the entire first 2 months of the season last year. There's one team that is always way worse than they should be, and everybody gravitates and craps on them. That was the Denver Broncos. So what is Sean Payton saying anything we didn't know? And again, like you said with the Jets, oh, they're all front and center. He sounds jealous. They didn't want to be on Hard Knocks, right? Aaron Rodgers is going to command a bunch of media attention no matter what. So, I mean, look, has Sean Payton saved this team yet?
No.
Has he saved them just by walking in the doors? No, you got to win some football games here, Shawnee. So this isn't New Orleans anymore. He's got a Super Bowl ring. Can never take that away from him. But really, what has he done here in the last 15 years since he's won that Super Bowl ring as a head coach?
Yeah, I had that thought too yesterday, going, you know, 15 years, one Super Bowl. You could certainly sit here right now and go, there should have been more success with Peyton and Drew Brees. But how many teams would sign up for a Super Bowl in the last 15 years, a Super Bowl win? It's just, it's hard to dismiss getting to the end and winning the whole thing. It is a long time ago, and it's a big ask. And I, you know, what do I know from a distance and not being Sean Payton, but I don't necessarily share his confidence that Russell Wilson can easily go back to being old Russell Wilson. He's not old. They've spent on the offensive line. If the system was as bad as Sean Payton wants us to believe, having that system gone certainly helps. But I do think, you know, Russ, football-wise, has gotten old and has lost his fastball, and things are going to be different. And if you don't reset your expectations, then you're going to be disappointed by him and the Broncos this year.
Yeah. I mean, look, if the Broncos win this game, Sean Payton's going to look like a genius. He can smack talk. You know, I don't know how well the rest of the season is going to look out. I don't think the Broncos are finishing above 500. I think they'll be lucky to win 7 games this year. But at the same time, now if you go ahead and get your ass kicked by the Jets, you're going to look like a clown. You're going to look like a clown. And, you know, I'll say this about Sean Payton. Now, Nathaniel Hackett, yeah, he might have been the worst, one of the worst head coaches in NFL history. At least he wasn't having his players take people out of games on purpose. Well, the bounty scandal and everything else.
That was one of the comments from the Jets yesterday. Somebody, was it Turner, Matt Turner, offensive lineman? If that's even a player.
Billy Turner,
thank you. Said, oh, it sounds like Sean just realized how bad of a job he just took in Denver and is trying to kind of rewrite history and realizes how much of an effort it's going to take to make the Broncos good again, and then hashtag Bountygate to close out his response.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Also, I just feel like I hate this narrative against the Jets that, oh, they tried to win the offseason, which was Sean Payton said. Like, they didn't make the playoffs. They were a bad football team. They got one of the best quarterbacks who ever played the game. Like, how is that spun as a bad thing? Like, Sean Payton's like, oh, I remember when I was with the Giants and, you know, the Washington then, you know, they signed Deion Sanders and everybody said they were going to win. It's like, dude, first of all, you're bringing back stories from 22 years ago.
Right.
About a guy coming out of retirement. This is a guy, a team that hasn't won a Super Bowl in however many years that upgraded their rosters tremendously by replacing Zach Wilson with Aaron Rodgers, and he tried to spin that as a bad thing. Oh, they just wanted to win the offseason. Like, that sounded so tone-deaf to me that it kind of made me dismiss everything else Sean Payton was saying.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm getting carried away by, and here's me again, like, promoting, basically throwing at people, but in the age of no answers and political correctness and vanilla throwaway sentences, my first reaction was, give me more of this. Because if we're being honest, you know, there's only a sliver of sympathy warranted for Nathaniel Hackett. I mean, he wanted the job, he got the job, and then he did do it as worse as anybody has ever done it. And he should, I don't understand how people kept their jobs in Denver. He's the head coach. You can mess up like the seventh round pick. You can mess up on your third wide receiver. You can overpay a running back, God forbid. But when you hire a head coach and he doesn't even last a season, other guys should have paid the price. And I guess part of why I was okay with Payton going in on Hackett is because he didn't stop with Hackett. He blamed Russ. He blamed George Payton. He blamed the team president. He blamed the Broncos. He blamed everybody. Hackett got the most heat. But even the Hackett quote is 2/3 of the way into the article. The article begins with him saying, I'm going to be pissed if we're on a playoff team. And then talking about all the other things that he's kind of trying to fix. It takes a while to get to the Hackett comment. So even the Hackett comment's kind of buried in this, in the story. And it wasn't the only person that was in Payton's crosshairs. And I guess that's probably why I was okay with him going so hard at Hackett, is because he blamed his boss, his two bosses. He said it was their fault too, that everybody in the adults in the room let all this craziness happen, and it ends up being what it was last year, and now here I am trying to fix it. And maybe Billy Matt Turner's right. Maybe part of this is also too like him realizing, like, holy crap, it's even worse than I thought it was coming in here. And we've got a long way to go.
It just feels like you're kicking, you know, a lying dog. Like, I mean, like, Nathaniel Hackett, as, you know, as Boyle has pointed out, like, we all know he was terrible. And I'm sure Hackett has lived through and heard all the heat he's taken and had to go over in his head about what he did wrong. Like, I think it's kind of Bush League to then come out and say, you know what, that guy last year, he sucked. He's the reason why this thing didn't work out. Like, I think that was a step too far. I think what we saw Doug Peterson do last season when it came to Urban Meyer and taking over that job, Doug Peterson was a lot more diplomatic. He said, look, I don't know what happened last year. All I'm going to do is try to be myself, try to be as open and honest and be as trustworthy to these guys as I can be. We all knew what that meant about what Urban Meyer was. Like, he didn't have to go out and say, hey, Urban Meyer was a scumbag, even though he was. A scumbag. And, like, here, like, Nathaniel Hackett, for all we know, maybe there is something that we don't know about Hackett and his relationships, whatever, but all we know is that he was incompetent. Like, he didn't know clock management, couldn't game plan week to week. Like, he was just incompetent. But did that mean you had to be cruel? Like, I don't know. I don't understand that from Peyton's perspective.
I'll tell you this much. If I'm Nathaniel Hackett, I'm responding, hey, pal, I'm going back. All right, maybe I'm not a head coach, but I'm going back to the role in which I got Aaron Rodgers back-to-back MVPs just 3 and 4 years ago here. So,
yeah.
Go shove. Go scratch.
Yeah, and see, I don't see it as a direct Broncos-Jets thing, even though that's where Hackett is now. This is now about the whole season for Peyton. Whatever happens with the Jets happens with the Jets. I mean, the Jets are better than the Broncos, so they better beat the Broncos that week. And they should beat them, I want to almost say decidedly, but maybe that's too far. I just think now Peyton in general better do a damn good job this year since he's throwing elbows right now. He better do what he's talking about across the board from week 1 through 17, not specifically against the Jets. The Target Demo Friday meme is out. It is producer search themed. The man we're replacing is almost front and center in the meme. Shawnee looking all sorts of glorious in his white undershirt. Probably the same one that he wore this week when he ran like Giancarlo Stanton from third to home. Didn't really get there. Popped a calf like Joe Burrow. And then as he laid on the floor panting and whining, his left moob fell out of that undershirt for all of at least New York City, if not America, to see. But you've got King Pete looking confused at said Sean. You've got Ryan Betcher looking dope in his tie and shirt, ready to maybe be Sean. And then the gentleman who showed up yesterday to interview for the job with Pete in a tuxedo is there with a paper bag with a question mark over his or her head. That unnamed person is going to join us in hour number 3 to discuss the tux. And again, look at that tux, man. Fits like a glove. Fits perfectly.
And Betcher's in this Target demo meme. And I think this picture was taken less than an hour ago.
Yeah. Yep.
Look at Cap.
Probably called him the wizard.
Turning that thing around like that.
So it's out there at CBS Sports Radio. I retweeted it. I think Boyle's going to retweet it. Respond. And we're going all in. We're not pulling punches here. Where you are, how you're listening, and the question, who should replace at Sean Morash? That's your Target Demo Friday meme. It is now out there for you to respond to, and we'll do all of that to close out the show on this Friday morning.
How about we get stunned?
Let's
now.
Do it.
Doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
This might be one of the all-timers. I'm just going to lay it out there. I'm just going to read the headline. This is from the New York Post. I'm going to read the first sentence of the article. A Florida manatee died earlier this year after having too much high-intensity sex with his brother.
Say it slowly. High intensity sex.
High intensity boot knocking, ugly bumping, high intensity, hot, dirty sex with his brother. With his brother.
Of course, you're doing this story.
And I believe they were in Florida because where else would they be?
Oh, of course they were. Yeah, the Moat Marine Laboratory and Aquarium. They were the only two manatees in the building. And 38-year-old, the one manatee, Hugh, died in April after succumbing to traumatic injuries caused by a sexual encounter with another larger male manatee at the facility, his brother, Buffett. And one of the fatal injuries...
Jimmy Buffett?
Yeah. One of the fatal injuries, a 14.5-centimeter rip in his colon.
Oh!
So he was...
Good Lord.
That hurts.
I mean, you talk about high intensity. Nothing screams high intensity more than a 14.5-centimeter rip in the colon.
You think?
I think that's how you grade the intensity level. Up to 5 centimeters, low intensity. 5 to 12, just as intense. Right. And then once you get past 12, that's high intensity.
12 plus.
Yeah, 12 plus, high intensity.
So, I mean, apparently this was all fair game, though, for the folks at the Moat Marine Laboratory and Aquarium. A fecal sample collected from Hugh after the encounter confirmed the presence of fresh blood. I mean, a 14.5-centimeter
good. Rat.
Well, I'm reading the article.
Am I assuming correctly that because they were the only ones there, that's why they might have enjoyed each other?
Yes.
Aside from the normal male-to-female relationship?
So it says that there were months-long heightened sexual activity between the two brothers, but this was the first time the pair had been observed initiating and mutually seeking interactions from each other.
Hubba hubba.
Imagine being in that lab getting a tour when that was going on. and take a look over here.
Or don't.
I mean, I'm just going to say this. If there's any way to go out, Money! It's got to be from high-intensity sex. Maybe not with your brother, but maybe not ancestrally at all.
And we've all seen a manatee, right? They're called, like, sea cows. I didn't think they were capable of anything high-intensity.
I mean, they look like, it's like what Andy Reid looks like, in animal form, if we're being honest.
And we are.
That was Pat Boyle that said that.
Let's get back to normal. Let's talk to the guy who came to work in a tuxedo yesterday, next on CBS Sports Radio.
More laughs per capita than any other sports radio show. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Well, as we told you earlier this week, Pete the Body Bilotti was unhappy with some wardrobe choices by those interviewing for Sean's job, thinking they were not dressing appropriately enough for such a high-level conversation. No such issues yesterday for one of our favorite coworkers. He is oftentimes heard on this show from his shower. I believe he's the host of Hick at Night on the weekends here at CBS Sports Radio. And yesterday, he showed up in this building to chat with Pete and others wearing a tuxedo. I don't know why. That's what we're going to ask him. Live on the line right now is the one and only Ryan Hickey. Hickey, where the hell did this come from?
Hello, Andrew. Thank you for having me. It came from a thought about 24 hours earlier. Because one of the things I like to pride myself on was hopefully is to look at things differently. And so I thought, instead of just saying that, because I'm sure everyone in the interview is going to say, well, I like to talk about things differently, right? It's kind of a sports radio crutch in terms of that's always the goal. I thought, how can I prove it? Everyone is going to be wearing suits. And I think for the most part, I was right about that. Although it sounds like Pete, maybe some people did not get the memo and dress down. So I figured, how can I separate myself? I'm going to dress up. I already had a black tux from a previous wedding I was at. Put it on, suspenders, shoes, the whole thing. Bow tie, which by the way, bow tie, not pre-tied, tied in one shot. No big deal.
Wow. Now, if you're watching, Hickey is here live, not in a tuxedo. And then the picture below of in the tuxedo. And you do look great. Now, I personally could not have pulled off what seemed to be suede loafers. But otherwise, Hickey, this is an A-plus outfit.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you. I appreciate that. It's I tried to go all out. I'm glad it was it went over well, I hope. I think I got a lot of laughs and snickers, but hopefully I think it went well. We went for it and hopefully it turned out well.
So I think that would be my concern, is if it wasn't taken correctly. It was taken like you were kind of spoofing the interview, that you had overdressed on purpose to like make a joke about it. And I don't know how Pete would have taken that. And because he's Pete, he will not tell us what he thought of the outfit yesterday.
I am a little nervous. I think I botched it on my end because I was kind of, I guess, maybe anticipating or expecting a question of like, what's going on here? And I never got a direct one. And there was one question I got in the interview where I probably should have like use the tux line in my answer. And now looking back, I didn't. So I really hope they don't look at this as a stepbrothers sort of situation where you wear a tuxedo for a janitorial job.
Right.
That's not what I was going for. But now leaving the interview, looking back and kind of reviewing how it went in my mind, I'm a little nervous that I maybe did not make it clear enough that this is serious. This is more differentiation than it is a mockery of the interview. So I guess looking back, I may have screwed myself.
Hickey, some of our listeners in our YouTube chat right now are actually surprised to see you dry. They say you look different not in the shower. I don't know if that's good or bad, but that's what's going on right now.
It is crazy, yeah. I mean, trust me, if I was like Kramer, or I try to be like Kramer in a sense, if I could do everything in the shower, I would. If I could produce the show from home in the shower every day, I absolutely would. But yes, unfortunately, I do have to be out in the world and dried up once in a while.
Did the shower videos come up in the interview yesterday at all?
No. No, they did not. I guess maybe that was another opportunity for me to bring it up, and I did not. But no questions about the shower.
Is that something you would bring to the morning, or is that an exclusive property of the 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern window here on CBS Sports Radio?
Oh, no. That is property of myself. So if you guys want in the morning, it is absolutely part of the morning. Absolutely. That the shower travels with wherever I go.
All right. Well, Hickey.
No anchors.
Like I said before, you looked great yesterday. I saw some other fools walking around here nowhere close to dress like that. So based just on wardrobe, you should get the job. But I don't know if that's how Pete's making his choice.
I mean, look, I don't think I'm biased here, but if it was me, that's what I would do.
Well, good luck either way. It's good to talk to you because we're almost never together in the building at the same time. And it is good to see you not awkwardly in the shower. I do at least appreciate that this morning, man. So be good.
I dressed up today. Put a shirt on for you.
You do. You look great. Keep up the great work, and we'll see you at some point soon, man. Be good.
Folks, thanks for having me. Talk to you soon.
Of course, dude. That's Ryan Hickey, one of our favorites around here. Now it's your epic fail. This is a doozy of a stun to a news. Manatees, brother-on-brother crime in a pool in Florida?
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
I'm going to read the first sentence of the article. A Florida manatee died earlier this year after having too much high-intensity sex with his brother.
What?
What did he say?
Say it slowly. High-intensity sex.
High-intensity, boot-knocking, ugly-bumping, high-intensity, hot, dirty sex with his brother.
My favorite porn star. It's just beautiful.
And I believe they were in Florida because where else would they be?
Oh, of course they were. Yeah, the Moat Marine Laboratory and Aquarium. They were the only two manatees in the building.
Oh, no.
One of the fatal injuries?
Uh-oh.
A 14.5 centimeter rip in his colon.
Oh.
Ow. Ow. Ow.
You suck the meat right off the bone.
Disgustingly awful.
You don't pick up any romantic significant others at all?
So he was...
Good Lord.
Well, that hurts.
I mean, you talk about high intensity. Nothing screams high intensity more than a 14.5 centimeter rip in the colon. Think?
He said he didn't alter any balls.
I think that's how you grade the intensity level. Up to 5 centimeters, low intensity. Right. 5 to 12, just as intense. Right. And then once you get past 12, that's high intensity.
12 plus.
Yeah, 12 plus.
Got his ass cooked. He got cooked.
Hey, you didn't go down like that, huh?
He got cooked.
So, I mean, apparently this was all fair game, though, for the folks at the Moat Marine Laboratory and Aquarium. A fecal sample collected from Hugh after the encounter confirmed the presence of fresh blood. I mean, a 14.5 centimeter good. Rat. Well, I'm reading the article.
You can't handle the truth.
So it says that, there were months-long heightened sexual activity between the two brothers, but this was the first time the pair had been observed initiating and mutually seeking interactions from each other.
My actions don't require any defense. In the same situation, I'd do it again.
I imagine being in that lab getting a tour when that was going on. And take a look over here.
Or don't.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
I mean, that story had everything. My goodness. Thank you, by the way, for including the 14 centimeter colon laceration. That was really
that was what did him in. That's what got him.
It's time for Target Demo Friday. We asked you where you're listening, how you're listening. As always, the caveat this week of who should replace Shawnee. We begin a la Sean with his good friend, our good friend, the official bagpiper. Oh, that's the toss of this?
Yeah.
Is there an open?
I thought we came out of this, out of the break with this.
I never.
I thought you were freestyling. I didn't know what was going on.
No, I don't. Guys, see, here's the thing. This is obvious by now. I'm around this show for years, and I still don't know how a lot of it works. And it's very infrequent where I'm the one in charge on a Friday.
Yeah,
so whatever's supposed to happen right now.
I think this initially was on Betcher, no offense. I think we bump back with this. At least that's what I've done every time. But after that's
my
fine.
Fault.
You do the fail. Yeah, well, you should have tossed it.
No, I mean, I have to write the open of the show with Waterloo because I'll mess it up. I have to write it almost word for word to get through that whole thing.
You did a couple of times.
Because I'm a dope. I can't do the open for the fourth hour of the show.
You're in the big chair, so I'm thinking, hey, you're like, hey, screw what DA normally does. I'm going to do it my way.
Nope. Frank Sinatra.
I'm an idiot. You've got to hold my hand and walk me through all of this.
Yeah, so there's a stink on a lot of people's hands, to quote Sean Payton here.
This one's on me. Play whatever you need to play right now.
You can play it, Betch.
It's a Friday fiesta. Here's what our listeners in the Target demo are up to.
I've heard this before. You're right. There is an open to this segment. You're right.
There you go.
Foxy, listening in the city on my Alexa all week. I'm feeling alive heading down to Baltimore today to see the Yankees. Who should replace the old Mraz? I don't know, but at Pat Boyle 44 in a diaper and call him Big Baby? Hashtag Target Demo Friday. Hashtag Let's Get Porked.
I'm a zilch in this business. I'm a nobody.
Reed Fatty Crackers Phillips listening via Twitch in Kentucky trying to hide from the heat this weekend. For all the deserved props Ryan has received for his shirts, EJ also needs some love today for his X-Men 97 style shirt. Hashtag Cold Wada.
I'm trashing my own junk. I'm on the DA Show Facebook page. Doug Bailey says, listening on XM Radio in Woodhaven, Michigan, I think you need a guy who is great at making game day food, clueless about the animal kingdom and geography, and is not such a Yankees and Giants fanboy. I nominate myself. I will bring Vienna sausages wrapped in bacon, slow-cooked in a brown sugar sauce to the studio. Quote, man candy.
It's so succulent and delicious.
That sounds good.
Cigar-smoking dude, good morning, guys. I'm listening on the Odyssey app from my empty office in Wilmington, North Carolina. It's shorts and polo shirt day. What do you, Pete the Body? Bring on Tom Doyle, and I'm considering day drinking because I can. Hashtag casual Fridays. Hashtag happy weekends.
There you go. Just say that, man. That freaking clown.
Backwards Brian watching with Twitch from Elizabeth City, North Carolina. I can't narrow it down to one, but my final four are Boyle, EJ, Carlos, and Dan in Mechanicsburg. I'd be happy with either. Hashtag Target Demo Friday. Hashtag The Replacements. Hashtag No Big Deal.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
Brian Duggins is on Facebook. YouTubing it up at work. Shh. Don't tell them I'm on my phone. Hashtag Bring in Boyle.
Demolish. Dominated. Controlled number 8 Utah in an absolute down victory. So let me just tell you this, folks.
That I feel like Hickey was really drawing that up. I don't know if that was real. Anyway, I got another one from the Facebook page on the DA Show. Delbert David, what's up from Delbert in Detroit? Listening to you from my phone. Me and my friend Kim love Major League Baseball tonight. Miami, Mets, Minnesota, and Atlanta parlay.
Look out.
I can only imagine how that one's going to go.
Let's go, Jets.
Moist Pork. Happy Target Demo Friday. Watching on Twitch in Baltimore. Boyle's my number one choice, but I'm good with anybody. As long as they contribute exciting content and not just sit there quietly. P.S. Ryan's outfit, 5 oinks. I love the tie. Moist Pork is the official clothing expert of the show, so that's a heavy, valid, significant 5 oinks from him for Hickey. Kudos to Hick for the tux that he wore yesterday to his interview for Sean's job. Dixieland Dan watching on hashtag Twitch Gang. The only acceptable answer to replacing Mraz is Pat Boyle. It's Pat and everybody else. He's done more for the DA Show in the last 2 years than anyone other than the 4 OGs. I'll also accept an EJ. There we go.
I was so mad about the game. I punched the cashier.
If it's not one of those two, we start a D'Alien riot. Well, this has worked out really well for you, Boyle. I don't know if you needed it, but you've cleaned up in this question. That EJ, you wrote the question, right? Or did Cap write the question?
This is a Cap question.
Of course it was Cap. Yeah, I should have known better.
It's not an EJ
Cap
special.
Never hesitant to stir the pot any way he can.
Of course it was Cap sitting in the back thinking of ways to mess people up.
Just throwing a grenade right into the middle of the crowd and just running.
And as always, just sitting down there, no camera on Cap, no mic on Cap. He works from home one day this week. Cap comes and goes as he pleases and just leaves damage in his wake.
Comes in randomly, takes a picture of Ryan.
Right.
What's it for? Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it, kid.
Is that what you said to him? You said, what is it for? And he said, don't worry about it.
He was open. He was like, I'm just taking a picture of you for the meme. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
He was sweet talking EJ about some kind of superhero thing, probably to distract him from some act. Maybe he took a picture of you that he's going to use down the road somehow.
Yeah, for next week's mean that I don't even know. That's hidden camera in here somewhere.
The mastermind. Did we read the one? There's a guy from Germany on the Facebook page. Did we read that one out loud?
I don't know.
Yeah, he's in Stuttgart and he's listening on Apple Podcasts. So people in America this week were struggling to find the PGP, but this guy's in Germany crushing it on Apple Podcasts for the show.
Germans are smart people. Americans can't say the same.
All right, they let us do 5 full shows. We're done. I might burn a day Monday. I'm exhausted. We'll see. Huge thanks to EJ all week, to Betcher, to Bilotti, Boyle, Caserta, Schwartz, Emmanuel, Hickey, all of you guys at home. Have a tremendous weekend. DA's triumphant return is on Monday. Until then, the mothership disconnects.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Now it's your epic fail. This is a doozy of a stun to a news. Manatees, brother-on-brother crime in a pool in Florida?
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
I'm going to read the first sentence of the article. A Florida manatee died earlier this year after having too much high-intensity sex with his brother.
What?
What did he say?
Say it slowly. High-intensity sex.
High-intensity, boot-knocking, ugly-bumping, high-intensity, hot, dirty sex with his brother.
My favorite porn star. It's just beautiful.
And I believe they were in Florida because where else would they be?
Oh, of course they were. Yeah, the Moat Marine Laboratory and Aquarium. They were the only two manatees in the building.
Oh, no.
One of the fatal injuries?
Uh-oh.
A 14.5 centimeter rip in his colon.
Oh.
Ow. Ow. Ow.
You suck the meat right off the bone.
Disgustingly off.
You don't pick up any romantic significant others at all?
So he was...
Good Lord.
Well, that hurts.
I mean, you talk about high intensity. Nothing screams high intensity more than a 14.5 centimeter rip in the colon.
Think? He said he didn't alter any balls.
I think that's how you grade the intensity level. Up to 5 centimeters, low intensity. Right. 5 to 12, just as intense. Right. And then once you get past 12, that's high intensity.
12 plus.
Yeah, 12 plus.
Got his ass cooked. He got cooked.
Adrian, you didn't go down like that, huh?
He got cooked.
So, I mean, apparently this was all fair game, though, for the folks at the Moat Marine Laboratory and Aquarium. They, a fecal sample collected from Hugh after the encounter confirmed the presence of fresh blood. I mean, a 14 and a half centimeter good. Well, I'm reading the article.
You can't handle the truth.
So it says that, you know, there were months-long heightened sexual activity between the two brothers, but this was the first time the pair had been observed initiating and mutually seeking interactions from each other.
My actions don't require any defense. In the same situation, I'd do it again.
Imagine being in that lab getting a tour when that was going on. And take a look over here,
or don't.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
I mean, that story had everything. My goodness. Thank you, by the way, for including the 14-centimeter colon laceration. That was really the top on that cake.
That's what got him.
It's time for Target Demo Friday. We asked you where you're listening, how you're listening. As always, the caveat this week of who should replace Shawnee. We begin, a la Sean, with his good friend, our good friend, the official bagpiper. Oh, that's a toss to this?
Yeah.
Is there an open?
I thought we came out of this, out of the break with this.
I
thought you were freestyling. I didn't know what was going on.
Guys, see, here's the thing. This is obvious by now. I'm around this show for years, and I still don't know how a lot of it works. And it's very infrequent where I'm the one in charge on a Friday.
Yeah,
so whatever's supposed to happen right now.
I think this initially was on Betcher, no offense. I think we bump back with this. At least that's what I've done every time. But after that's
my
fine.
Fault.
You do the fail. Yeah, well, you should have tossed it.
No, I mean, I have to write the open of the show with Waterloo, because I'll mess it up. I have to write it almost word for word to get through that whole thing.
You did a couple of times.
Because I'm a dope. I can't do the open for the fourth hour of the show.
You're in the big chair, so I'm thinking, screw what DA normally does. I'm gonna do it my way.
Nope. Frank Sinatra.
I'm an idiot. You've got to hold my hand and walk me through all of this.
Yeah, so there's stink on a lot of people's hands. To quote Sean Payton here,
this one's on me. Play whatever you need to play right now.
You can play it, Betch.
It's a Friday fiesta. Here's what our listeners in the Target demo are up to.
I've heard this before. You're right. There is an open to this segment. You're right.
There you go.
Foxy, listening in the city on my Alexa all week. I'm feeling alive. Heading down to Baltimore today to see the Yankees. Who should replace the old Mraz? I don't know, but at Pat Boyle 44 in a diaper and call him Big Baby? Hashtag Target Demo Friday. Hashtag Let's Get Porked.
I'm a zilch in this business. I'm a nobody.
Reed Fatty Crackers Phillips listening via Twitch in Kentucky trying to hide from the heat this weekend. For all the deserved props Ryan has received for his shirts, EJ also needs some love today for his X-Men 97 style shirt. Hashtag Cold Wada.
I'm trashing my own junk. Mm. I'm on the DA Show Facebook page. Doug Bailey says, listening on XM Radio in Woodhaven, Michigan, I think you need a guy who is great at making game day food, clueless about the animal kingdom and geography, and is not such a Yankees and Giants fanboy. I nominate myself. I will bring Vienna sausages wrapped in bacon, slow-cooked in a brown sugar sauce to the studio. Quote, man candy.
That's so succulent and delicious.
That sounds good.
Cigar smoking dude. Good morning, guys. I'm listening on the Odyssey app from my empty office in Wilmington, North Carolina. It's shorts and polo shirt day. What do you, Pete the Body? Bring on Tom Doyle, and I'm considering day drinking because I can. Hashtag casual Fridays. Hashtag happy weekends.
There you go. Just say that. I mean, that freaking clown.
Backwards Brian watching with Twitch from Elizabeth City, North Carolina. I can't narrow it down to one, but my final four are Boyle, EJ, Carlos, and Dan in Mechanicsburg. I'd be happy with either. Hashtag Target Demo Friday. Hashtag The Replacements. Hashtag No Big Deal.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
Brian Duggins is on Facebook. YouTubing it up at work. Shh. Don't tell them I'm on my phone. Hashtag Bring in Boyle.
Demolish. Dominated. Controlled number 8 Utah in an absolute down victory. So let me just tell you this, folks.
That I feel like Hickey was really drawing that up. I don't know if that was real. Anyway, I got another one from the Facebook page on the DA Show. Delbert David, what's up from Delbert in Detroit? Listening to you from my phone. Me and my friend Kim love Major League Baseball tonight. Miami, Mets, Minnesota, and Atlanta parlay.
Look out.
I can only imagine how that one's going to go.
Let's go, Jets.
Moist Pork. Happy Target Demo Friday. Watching on Twitch in Baltimore. Boyle's my number one choice, but I'm good with anybody. As long as they contribute exciting content and not just sit there quietly. P.S. Ryan's outfit, 5 oinks. I love the tie. Moist Pork is the official clothing expert of the show, so that's a heavy, valid, significant 5 oinks from him for Hickey. Kudos to Hick for the tux that he wore yesterday to his interview for Sean's job. Dixieland Dan watching on hashtag Twitch Gang. The only acceptable answer to replacing Mraz is Pat Boyle. It's Pat and everybody else. He's done more for the DA show in the last 2 years than anyone other than the four OGs. I'll also accept an EJ. There we go.
I was so mad about the game. I punched the cashier.
If it's not one of those two, we start a D'Alien riot. Well, this has worked out really well for you, Boyle. I don't know if you needed it, but you've cleaned up in this question. That EJ, did you write? You wrote the question, right? Or did Cap write the question?
This is a Cap question.
Of course it was Cap. Yeah, I should have known better.
It's not an EJ
Cap
special.
Cap never hesitant to stir the pot of course, any way he can.
Of course it was Cap sitting in the back thinking of ways to mess people up.
Just throwing a grenade right into the middle of the crowd and just running.
And as always, just sitting down there, no camera on Cap, no mic on Cap. He works from home one day this week. Cap comes and goes as he pleases and just leaves damage in his wake.
Comes in randomly, takes a picture of Ryan.
Right.
What's it for? Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it, kid.
Is that what you said to him? You said, what is it for? And he said, don't worry about it.
He was open. He was like, I'm just taking a picture of you for the meme. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
He was sweet talking EJ about some kind of superhero thing, probably to distract him from some act. Maybe he took a picture of you that he's going to use down the road somehow.
Yeah, for next week's mean that I don't even know. Got a hidden camera in here somewhere.
The mastermind. Did we read the one? There's a guy from Germany on the Facebook page. Did we read that one out loud?
I don't know.
Yeah, he's in Stuttgart and he's listening on Apple Podcasts. So people in America this week were struggling to find side the PGP, but this guy's in Germany crushing it on Apple Podcasts for the show.
Germans are smart people. Americans can't say the same.
All right, they let us do 5 full shows. We're done. I might burn a day Monday. I'm exhausted. We'll see. Huge thanks to EJ all week, to Betcher, to Bilotti, Boyle, Caserta, Schwartz, Emmanuel, Hickey, all of you guys at home. Have a tremendous weekend. DA's triumphant return is on Monday. Until then, the mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.